Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Kate Show. My name is Kate, and I am here to rant about all things marketing as they relate to the interior design, home staging, professional organizing, and window treatment industry. A lot of you may have been listening to my podcast all these years since 2018, but I am now officially on YouTube. So if you guys are still just listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, just know that you can hop over to YouTube and watch me rant live. Well, not live, but you know what I mean. So today it's already episode 255, and this is a reaction video. I am going to be reacting to bad marketing advice. And if you have ever wondered, like, what things should I really be avoiding in my marketing so that I'm not wasting time or money? Well, today's episode is for you, because bad marketing advice is the reason I'm developing frown lines. Can you see them? Like right there. Yeah. You should see me sitting at my desk, squinting at the screen and doing a double take. Like, they're telling designers to do what in their marketing? Now, I'm pretty protective of you guys. I want your businesses to succeed. And when I first started marketing my own business, I fell for these bad marketing tactics. And you know what? I probably also proliferated some of them to the rest of you because I didn't know any better. But it's 10 years into the business. I know a lot better now. So I am going to be sharing these things with you. You know, marketing a business in the home industry is so different than marketing in other industries because it is an intimate relationship. You are coming into someone's home, they're spending a lot of money with you, and the changes you make for them impact their daily life every day going forward. I mean, some of you are even sorting through your clients' underwear drawers. Shout out to you guys, professional organizers. So if you are ready to figure out how not to market your business, if you're ready for the skill set to be able to spot marketing advice that will not work for you or that may actually harm you, this is the episode for you. This episode of The Kate Show is brought to you by Sidedoor. If I were an interior designer, I'd be using Sidedoor because it is a great income opportunity. Don't let anyone fool you. Passive income does not exist, but leveraged income totally does. With Sidedoor, you can sell trade-only products and make an average of 30% on the commission of each sale. That's incredible. Affiliate marketing gives you a measly 1, 2, maybe 5% if you're lucky, but Sidedoor gives you 30%. It's wholesale furnishings revolutionized for the digital age. You have access to hundreds of trade brands, and you can streamline purchasing by putting them on your website. And not only do you earn that amazing 30% commission, but you don't have to handle logistics, delivery, customer support issues. All you have to do is curate collections specific to the design style and the room that your client needs. You could design collections around a real life client or based on the clients you've already worked with, you probably have a good idea of what they need. So go create a collection around the family room for the farmhouse aesthetic loving homeowner. That means that you're not going to fill it full of 15 different area rugs. You might choose 2 or 3 area rugs and a couple sofa options. The main point is all the pieces, accessories, and decor work together so that no matter what they purchase from your collection, they are able to have a beautifully designed space thanks to you and Sidedoor. To get access to Sidedoor, go to onsidedoor.com and sign up today. This episode of The Kate Show is brought to you by Honeybook. I love using Honeybook for my business because it helps create a streamlined workflow when people decide they want to work with me. Because, you know, there's one thing to do the right marketing to get the client. There's quite another to impress them all the way through the end of the project. And with Honeybook, my clients are able to review and sign their proposal, make their payment, and then be told what to do next, all in one fell swoop. I've set up automations that remind them when they need to send me certain assets so that their website project can go off without a hitch. And if you've ever worked with us, you know that Honeybook kept you on track, it kept us on track, and it was really easy to use. If you're interested in using Honeybook for your business, go to honeybook.com and use the code SOCIALITE at checkout for 50% off your first year. All right, guys, if you are not following me on YouTube, please go do that. You can type in at the Kate Show podcast in the search bar to find me quickly. And now let's get into the show. Just like the internet is full of bad hacks and ideas and tips when it comes to nutrition and fitness, marketing is no exception. So today I'm going through it. Bad advice number one is wait until you are more successful to get a professional logo and website. So if you're just started out in your business, you don't have a lot of cash flow, and you're piecemealing, hodgepodging logos together in Canva, or you hire someone on Fiverr to build you a website, you can. Like, everyone's been there. I've been there. I've had to bootstrap the heck out of things. However, waiting until you are successful to then look successful is backwards. If you want to be successful, you need to look the part sooner rather than later. In fact, the sooner you look legitimate, the more quickly people will see you as legitimate. You get to teach people how to treat you and your business. You get to control the perceived value that your business presents. So if you want to charge premium top dollar, not only do you have to really offer amazing services, but you also have to look the part. Okay. You also have to have a professional website that functions really well, has all the proper integrations, whether it's letting people book a discovery call with you right then and there versus going back and forth via email. It's about having good internal workflows, whether you're using Honeybook, my favorite, or Dubsado, or some other platform. You have to make sure that you are delivering a stellar client experience. And that starts not even just with the website, but also with your logo, with your brand. And by the way, a brand is not just a logo. A brand is the personality of your business. So how are you presenting that personality? Well, if that personality is piecemealed and hodgepodged and ever-changing, meaning every time you design something in Canva, you tweak it a little bit because you like this font today, tomorrow you like this color, and next week you're going to like a totally different aesthetic altogether. I get that because as a business owner, I've gone through many iterations of my brand, but I had to settle on something because people do not trust companies that are always changing their personality. In fact, don't they actually have some illness terms for that? So if you want to save your business from experiencing the drawbacks of multi-personality disorder, then you have to be solid on your brand and you have to look professional from the start. Okay, bad advice number two. Use words in your marketing that sound fancy, even if that's not how you or your ideal client speak. When I collaborate with clients who are in the middle of a rebrand, there is sometimes tension between the desire to use very elevated speech because the home industry, by nature, is kind of fancy. You know, we all like it that way. But there's a deep need to be conversational as well. And more importantly, to reflect how the ideal client talks. For example, a brand strategist might recommend that you describe your full service construction and design services as being from the ground up, quote unquote, or even refer to them as, quote unquote, large scale renovations. But is that how your ideal client talks? Wouldn't they just be Googling things like new home builder, interior design for my whole house, or something basic like that, or interior designers who help with remodeling even? Because the poor marketing advice that you should sound fancy just for the sake of being fancy means you're missing an opportunity to connect with your ideal client, to speak in a way that they will quickly understand, or not that they wouldn't understand because they're not stupid, but would you want to talk to someone who looked like and talked like they swallowed a dictionary for breakfast? No, that's off-putting. You want to work with someone who has personality and who is able to communicate well, and your clients want the same thing. So you need to make sure that you're not being fancy just for the sake of being fancy. Talk the way your ideal client talks. In fact, one of my best little marketing tricks is to use my ideal client's words against them. They tell me, oh, I just can't get on top of my marketing. Then a headline on my sales page becomes, ready to get on top of your marketing? Because they understand that because I'm speaking their language. And they will say, and they have said, wow, you really get me. I want to work with you versus all the other agencies out there I could have worked with. You can do the same thing with your clients. Just turn their words around and point them back at the client. All right. So the key takeaway here is that you need to make sure your messaging reflects how your clients search on Google, SEO, and how they talk. That's branding. Otherwise, you're going to miss a lucrative opportunity to connect with them. And this tip is helpful whether you're creating website copy, blog copy, email marketing copy, social media captions, whatever it is. All right, let's move on to number three. Bad advice number three is to use a welcome page on your website that must be clicked through in order to see the actual site. It's like, that's not elegant. That's really not. Making your leads work extra hard to access your website is not fancy. It makes a lot of us feel fancy when we've got a beautiful logo with a beautiful image or a slow-moving video in the background. And then the words enter with a button. And in order to get to our website, people have to click enter. You see, I'm making fun of this because it doesn't help at all. It makes your potential clients work too hard. They shouldn't have to click any more than necessary. And it also hurts your SEO because now that welcome page is your homepage and it's got next to nothing on it. Nothing for Google to index, nothing that speaks to your ideal client, just more work for them to do. So don't do that. All right, bad advice number four, maximize and emphasize your house account. Now, of course, there are caveats to this. Some people get a lot of clients, good clients from house, but by and large, what I have seen in the decade that I've been doing this, that's a very, very small group of people. Most people have tried house, okay? They're a giant and they get locked into contracts with this giant and the giant doesn't want to let go. But once they get out of those contracts and they're no longer paying for these leads that were just tire kickers to begin with, they realize there's a lot better ways to be spending their marketing dollars and house is not one of them. Now, like I said, there are caveats to this. Some people do get good leads from house, but by and large, it's not the case. So if you want to use house, just use a free profile. You don't need to use house pro by any means. All right. Bad advice number five, use direct print mail to contact cold leads. Now, as with anything, there are caveats to this as well. If you can highly and specifically pinpoint the different neighborhoods and areas that you are targeting, and you're not just doing some sort of blanket mass print mailing to a certain zip code, that's more effective because it's going to be a lot less expensive. You're going to have a lot less mailings to send out, but you'll know that at least the ones you are sending out are going to the households that you would potentially want to work with. So that's one thing. The other thing is if you're going to do print mailing, make sure that you have a small ask on that postcard. So whether it's a postcard or it's a postcard inside of an envelope, you should have photos of your work. You should have at least one photo of you. And then the call to action should be very loud and clear. And it should not be, go check out my website, because that's way too vague. And also, what are people going to do when they get to your website? Probably leave. So instead, you need to have a specific offer. You can either offer your lead magnet, like say, have you ever worked with a designer before? No? Well, here's a chance to figure out what that would be like. Now, obviously, I'm just pulling these words off the top of my head. But then you can say, go here to download my free design guide and then have yourwebsite.com/design guide. Or you can pitch your discovery call. So never worked with a designer before? We can change that. Book your discovery call to figure out whether or not we are a good fit for your project. Go to yourwebsite.com/booking. It's better to do that versus a big ask, because remember, a series of small yeses will prime them for the big yes, which involves writing you a check. All right. So you might be thinking, yeah, well, okay, I can do all of that. I can do the print mailings, but that's like a one-time thing or a quarterly thing or even just an annual thing. What do I do in between? How do I get in touch with people who might want to hire me or refer me? Great question. Glad you asked. Well, this is where email marketing comes into play, because email marketing is really fast. You can track the results. Unlike print marketing, you can't track print at all. And that's why it's so archaic. But with email marketing, you should be sending out a newsletter every 2 to 4 weeks. And you should be including a call to action that lets people book a call with you or fill out your client intake form, whatever makes sense for your workflow. Although I do firmly believe the discovery call is the best place to start, because when you can get someone one-on-one on the phone with you, the likelihood of you being able to convert them into a paying client goes up exponentially. All right, so if you're sending out a newsletter every 2 to 4 weeks that helps you stay top of mind with people, and maybe you're sending these emails to the same people you're also sending postcards to, or maybe this is a totally different demographic. A lot of people, when they come to my agency, will be like, I want to send a newsletter, but I don't have a mailing list. I've been in business for years. I never accumulated a mailing list, or I'm brand new to business, so I also still don't have a mailing list. Well, in that case, you say, if you have any people who have contacted you but not become clients yet, put them on the list. If they were clients, put them on the list. Friends, family, colleagues. But here's the thing. Do not buy mailing lists, because that's unethical. Do not go through the internet and just scrape addresses from people's websites and add them to your mailing list, because that's also unethical. And big platforms like MailChimp, Flowdesk, Constant Contact, they know if you've purchased a list. They know if you've scraped email addresses, and the penalties for that can be pretty high. So make sure that you're only emailing people who have communicated with you before, they've said they want to be on your mailing list, and then go with it. Because even if you have only 12 people on your mailing list, that's still okay. You don't have to have a huge list in order to get results. All right, bad advice number 6, offer discounts to encourage leads to call you. Now, it's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking the only reason people aren't hiring you is because you're not offering the right discount, or because your prices are too high compared to that of your competitor. Trust me, they're not waiting for a deal. They're waiting to, number one, find out that you exist, and number two, determine why that matters to them so that they understand, number three, how you can help them. Honestly, it's all about them, the client. It's not actually about your pricing. When you offer a discount, you are attracting people who like discounts. That's a problem. Those are not fun clients. Rather than heading straight for a discount to solve your dry pipeline problem, do some internal work first. Don't worry, I'm not going to get all woo-woo-y on you. You need to assess the first impression that your website makes, your storefront, or your marketing materials. Do you look professional or hodgepodge? Kind of going back to the first thing we talked about today. You can't wait until you're successful to look professional. You need to look professional right away, because that will help you become successful more quickly. Next, you need to assess your follow-up methods. If you were on your own mailing list, when was the last time you heard from you? Or look at your current lead magnet. If you were on the fence about hiring yourself, you know, weird, but we'll go with it, okay? Is your lead magnet enticing enough to make people want to sign up for it? You have to be objective here. Be honest with yourself. If things feel piecemealed, if the offers aren't enticing, if all you're doing is offering a promo code or a discount, that's not enough. And by devaluing your pricing, you're also devaluing your business. That is not the type of client you want to work with. All right, bad advice number 7, use a paid referral program to get your colleagues to send you more leads. The idea that you should pay someone every time they refer clients to you is a fast way to hurt business relationships. I mean, how are you tracking this? How are you paying the referral source? And what happens when they stop referring people to you and instead refer people to someone else that they're friends with just because? It gets messy. Trust me, I've been there. Forge an alliance with business owners that refer people to you just because they want to. There's no commitments here. There's no strings attached. And hopefully you also can refer people to that business or that business person. Because when you can refer business back and forth to each other, what you're telling your audience is I give my stamp of approval to this person and vice versa. That makes their audience trust you faster. And of course, the reverse is also true. So make sure that you don't fall into the trap of saying, okay, well, I'll give you 20% of every, you know, consultation that I book because of people referring, or because of you referring people to me. Don't even go there. It's messy. It's a messy thing to get into. All right, bad advice number 8, be active on as many social platforms as possible. The pressure to make videos and content for social media is really at an all-time high, Do you know why that is, by the way? You might think, oh, it's because people love video. Well, sure, but here's the other thing. These social media platforms have nothing if they don't have content creators. The content creators ensure that people will stay in the app. So the app wants constant content. It is an ever-hungry beast. And if you are not producing daily, then you're going to be buried by the algorithm. But does that really matter? Here's the thing. I run a completely online business and I am barely on social media. I post once a week on Instagram. I post the same thing on Facebook every week. And then I have one YouTube video that comes out every week. That's it. The rest of my marketing is through my email. My email marketing is super important and it's pretty common for me to send out a newsletter and then book thousands of dollars in projects as a result very consistently because email marketing is effective. It was effective long before social media ever existed and it's only increasing in its effectiveness. Email marketing is not dead, not by a long shot. So the idea that you should be active on social media it's silly. I mean, honestly, if you are running a business in the home industry, your client does not make their buying decisions when it comes to high ticket things like interior design, where, you know, the starting price is what, $30,000 for a bathroom. They're not making those decisions based off what you post on social media. It doesn't matter how many silly dances you do as a reel or how many videos you post on TikTok or how many stories you put on Instagram. That's not why someone's going to hire you. Now, there's always going to be that one designer out there that's like, oh, well, I book a lot of clients from social media. Might be true, might be. But what I found is even the designers who claim that they book clients from social media are missing one important element, and that is this. The people that they are getting projects with didn't even originally find them on Instagram. They found them through some other venue and then followed them on Instagram and then became a client. So you have to understand, is your social presence actually reaching new people, or are people just using it as a mechanism to connect with you because they found out about you somewhere else? And can you count a lead as coming through Instagram if they DM'd you about the project through Instagram saying, hey, I'm interested to work with you, even though they found you in some other avenue? If they found you in some other avenue, the lead did not come through or because of Instagram. Instagram was just the tool they used to contact you, much like they might also send you a text or call you or book a call or send an email. All right. So it's important to understand the role that social media does and does not play. Now, also from a statistical standpoint, the average social media user cannot afford custom interior design, professional organizing, or the like. And that's fine. No, not everybody has extra income or deep pockets, or, you know, they're not the children of trust fund parents. They're just people who are enjoying good design, enjoying pretty spaces. And that's true of, especially like the home edit account on Instagram. Their work is beautiful. But do you think people are hiring them left and right, like off of Instagram? No, but influencers do, because influencers will sometimes have deep enough pockets. They also want aesthetically pleasing everything for their own feeds. So they have a vested interest in making their spaces look beautiful. But then there are other people who are following places like the Home Edit because they want to learn how to do it themselves. They are the typical DIYer, and there's nothing wrong with being DIY. But if you, as the interior designer, home stager, organizer, window treatment professional, if you're trying to market your business on Instagram, for example, and you're like, why am I not getting leads? Well, this is why. If you start offering DIY content, tutorials and the like, you might actually get somewhere if you want to sell courses. But if you're trying to sell in-person services, Instagram's not the place for that. But email marketing and blogging are great for that. Okay, bad advice number 9. Nobody reads blog posts or email newsletters anymore, so don't create them. Now, I kind of already touched on this, but let's go over it. Given that the majority of Google search results are comprised of blog posts or articles, articles and blog posts are the same thing, by the way. Blogging's not dead, okay? The idea that no one reads blog posts is ridiculous, because I've had a few people say to me recently, like, well, I don't even read blog posts, so why should I blog? I'm like, well, do you Google things? Yeah. Okay. Well, most of your Google search results are just other people's blog posts. So there's that. And they're like, oh, good point. Yes, I know. Good point. So blogging is not dead. You just need to do it correctly and consistently. Blogging needs to be done at least once a month for Google to take you seriously. And you need to make sure that you are writing with your ideal client in mind. Now, this is where some people try to take the easy way out by using AI. The problem is AI does not know your ideal client. You can put in as many prompts and such as you want in there, but it's not the same as you being you. You cannot remove yourself from your marketing because that's when it falls flat. So when you are creating blog posts, you have to speak to your ideal client's pain points and relate them back to your services because your services are the solution to their pain points. At the end of every blog post, you should be linking to your lead magnet so that people can take the natural next step. They're probably not going to be ready to hire you yet, so they're not going to contact you. But if you have a lead magnet they can sign up for and get for free, that's an easy yes from them. And that gives your mailing list the extra contacts. And then when your email marketing goes out every 2 to 4 weeks, you will start converting more clients that way. All right. So the other thing that you need to understand is that when it comes to email marketing return on investment is about 40 times higher than that of Facebook, for example. And I do have a lot of data on this. In other episodes of my podcast, I'm not going to rehash it all now, but even if you would like on your own, just Google email marketing ROI versus social media ROI, and you will be astounded by the results because email marketing is a lot less work. It's a lot less expensive and it's a lot more effective. So like, it's kind of a no-brainer. All right, guys. Well, that is me reacting to bad marketing advice. And it turns out that my reaction to bad marketing advice is to just go on rants. So I've gone on 9 different rants. I hope you enjoyed it. But if you are looking for marketing help, I would like for you to go download my marketing calendar. It's completely free. Go to katethesocialite.com and it'll be right there. You'll see it at the top of my website. Sign up for it. And when you do, you're going to get a customizable marketing calendar. You can drag and drop things wherever they need to go. You'll have a list of tasks already set up for you to play with. And then you'll also get 6 months of marketing coaching from me automatically sent to your inbox. And then you'll also have the opportunity to book a call with me if you would like to discuss your marketing one-on-one. I would love to do that. I do offer complimentary marketing audits, and then we can figure out how to best help you, whether it's to break through the wall because none of your marketing efforts have worked in the past, or to get your marketing set up right from square one if you are a new business, or if you've just rebranded, or if you've been in business for a while and you were operating off word of mouth referral, but then all the referrals dried up. What do you do then? Well, I know what you do then because I've been doing this for a while and I only serve entrepreneurs in the home industry, which means I do a deep dive into what does and does not work from the standpoint of creating websites to creating email marketing content and blogging content and overall brand messaging and strategy. So again, if you need a marketing calendar for your business in the home industry, go to katethesocialite.com and get it today. Guys, until next time, keep your marketing simple, your message clear, and I will talk to you soon.